Excuse me. I'm not sure if I'm going to break the silence because you are having a silent retreat and you are already so silent. So then who am I to disturb the silence? But maybe some is not so silent. Most probably you can find more silence. I bring silence with my words. Just coming down now from my place, it was beautiful sunshine there. And then suddenly I went into the fog. And so cold. If this is how it has been all day, huh? So then I was thinking, many times I told you when we were in the Himalayas, then the monasteries, the Tibetans, the master, they are living above the villages, the highest top. There they have their little temple and the monastery. Above the villages, above the people, the marketplace, the chaos, the business. So then I was thinking, the master, he comes from there. There's sunny, it's clear blue sky. And then the seekers sit in the fog. Waiting for the sun to clear up the fog. No, some people, they are pretty clear, and some people are still very foggy. So that's why the master has to go on sharing. So he dispels the fog, he dispels the darkness. So he comes into the fog with the message of light. Like that it was. Because it's always blue sky above the clouds, above the fog. But again and again, you go get so involved in your personal dramas and your mind and your emotions that you are struggling just to survive. Amazing. So self-centered that you lose all contact with the whole, with reality. Just lost in your own bubble, your suffering mind. Totally forgotten that just a little bit above is clear sky. No mind. The whole existence. That's what the Buddhists called samsara. You lost in the world. It's a repetition. Life after life. And to have birth as a human being is a great potential chance, big chance to get free, the only. They say you can have rebirth in many different places. Six realms. That you are living here on this planet, somebody very angry, somebody very violent, somebody very competition, somebody very greedy, somebody with all dark thoughts, cheating, stealing, murdering, sexual, all hidden things. And the Buddhists, they have studied this in detail. Even some can live very happily, very healthy in this life. But you are unconscious. There's no compassion for your fellow man. Then you have those that is more like an animal, not so clever. Just thinking about themselves. Not have any clarity. Then you have those that they call hungry ghosts. They only want things outside. They're always seeking something to fulfill themselves. Some desire, some greed. They always have to gain something. But they picture them with very, very tiny throats. So no matter how much they stuff they cannot really get nourished. And many humans are like this. They want more and more and more. Then you have some that lives like in hell. They are always angry, violent, and competing. Just they're destroying. And many has a combination of many evil things. Like a Trump. No, that is a proof, the best proof I've seen now we are in Kali Yoga, the dark times. When somebody like that can become the president of the most powerful country on the planet. So more than ever, people needs to wake up, to become conscious, to use this opportunity of being human. Otherwise, they just waste it. And not only waste it, but makes the planet worse. Absolutely no responsibility, even when they have the power to do something. Even when they have the power to do something good. That is the lower self, always thinking about me, me, me. It doesn't matter about others, it doesn't matter about the totality, it doesn't matter about nature, it doesn't matter about the planet. Now we are winter time, then I remembered one of my favorite, well, I have so many favorite friends, but it was one enlightened Japanese Zen master called Hakuen who wrote this as his self-realization when he was enlightened. And when I was in invited there to Japan, then I told them about him and I read this for them. And it was amazing that you had to have somebody coming from the West back to Japan to remind them about meditation and Zen. But that was the situation. They have forgotten, and somebody had to come from the West. So everything is changing. And I saw so many beautiful Zen temples, and now they are becoming more and more just like museums. And for tourists, fat Americans, to go there and take a photo. So the golden days of meditation in India, in Japan, in China, it's gone. Luckily, you are interested and you came to the right place. This Hakuen, he says, from the beginning, all beings are Buddha, like water and ice. Without water, no ice. Outside us, no Buddhas. God, do I love this guy. Just these two lines, and you have all the holy scriptures condensed. But people cannot accept their own nature. That is the problem. It seems like it has to be a big period of coming back to oneself. That is what is called seeking, studying, meditation, sadhanas, effort, discipline. From the very beginning, all beings are Buddha, like water and ice. Without water, no ice. Then I was also thinking about now, it's winter time, no? But don't get stuck that it's winter, that it's ice. Slowly, slowly that ice will melt, no? So if you feel separated, if you're lost in your mind, in your problems, in your personality, in your emotions, don't panic, melt. It just means that you are ice. You have lost contact. You are doing something against nature, against yourself. And then you become problematic. Problematic for yourself and problematic for everybody around you. That is just a sign that you are doing something against reality. Otherwise, everything is perfect. Like water and ice. Without water, no ice. So even if you are ice, even if you are frozen, you came from the water, which is fluid. And you will go back to that. That is the natural state. You cannot grasp it. Outside us, no Buddhas. How near the truth, yet how far we seek. Like one in water crying, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. Like a child in a wealthy home, wandering among the sick and poor. Lost on the dark paths of ignorance, we wander through the six worlds. When shall we be freed from birth and death? O Sasan of the Mahayana, this is the highest praise, the greatest blessing. Devotion, repentance, training, the many paramitas, all have their souls in Sasan. Those who try Sasan even once wipe away beginningless crimes. It purifies karma, dissolving destructions. Then where are the dark paths to lead us astray? The pure lotus land is not far away. Hearing this truth, heart becomes humble and grateful. To praise and embrace it, to practice its wisdom, brings unending blessings. brings mountains of merit. And if you turn inward and prove of a true nature, that true self is no self. Our own self is no self. We go beyond ego and past clever words. Then the gate to the oneness of cause and effect is thrown open. Not two, not three, straight ahead runs the way. Our form, no being no form, in going and returning we never leave home. And thought now, being no thought, our dancing and songs are the voice of the Dharma. How vast is the heaven of the boundless samadhi? How bright and transparent the moonlight of wisdom? What is the outside us? What is it that we lack? Nirvana is openly shown to our eyes. This earth where we stand, where we are, is the pure lotus land, and this very body, the body of Buddha. This is the difference between an unconscious person and a conscious person. In enlightenment, this is what comes out. That can heal people. It doesn't confuse people. Yes, maybe it confuses because you have to think about it. The disciple has to think, try to find out, figure out what is it the master means. He has to go deeper. He has to meditate on it. This Hakuin, maybe 500 years ago, he was there. And they say when he was 15 years old, he became a monk, which was always was really hard because the parents needs the son to work. They're not interested that you become a monk, a sannyasin. Then you become useless for the family, for the society. So when he was 15, because he was very fearful of death, so he wanted to find out what was beyond that. Then he had another experience because he heard that some other monks had been killed by some robbers. It was many robbers and bad people around in the old days, also in Japan, who was robbing people. And that was a shock for him because he realized even he, as a monk, even a man who is devoted to the truth, to Buddha, can get killed. So there was no escape. Then they said when he was 24 years old, then he had his first satori. Then, like everybody have a satori, then they think, no, this is it. But he had a very strict master then who didn't give him any attention. He didn't accept that this was it, which is what he needed. And the master even told him, you are a clever idiot, aren't you? You are so self-centered. You have to go deeper. he was known, his master, Shuyi, was known to be very strict. And no master liked to be strict, but they have to. It's total out of compassion. The Zen master can be much more helpful than a gentle master, because you have to make friction. You have to show the disciple, because again and again the disciple settled down. That's the nature of the human mind. You find your place and again you fall asleep. You want to be closer and you do things that brings you further away. You say something and you do just the opposite. Again and again and again. So what can the master do then? He has to show you in different ways your blocks, your stumbling blocks, your unconsciousness, which is always very hard because the disciple is not conscious enough to be conscious, then he hadn't done it. And it's painful every time you get to see some ugly face side of yourself. It's painful. But it's the only way to go beyond it, to see your blind spots, your darkness. So, this Hakuin, again he left, and they say that it took another 18 years before he got enlightened. And that's how it is. You have to have many experiences before it settles. Because it cannot stay before you are worthy of receiving the gift. It has to be totally clean in the temple before God moves in. It's the only way. Then he was a master in his own temple for more than 40 years. And in the beginning, of course, it was very few people, but slowly, slowly it spread, and hundreds of students, of disciples came. And he became very famous. In fact, he ignited the spirit of meditation of Zazen again in Japan. Because it was slowing down, because most probably they didn't have any good master. But he shook it up again. And he also said that even after enlightenment, you shouldn't just sit there. You should be creative, you should share. He was on the line of Mahayana, of Buddhism, and they say that that is the path of the bodhisattvas. Meaning, even if you get enlightened, you should share it. There is another part, when you get enlightened, you just enjoy that. Which is very, very tempting, because at last, no, you are free. Why talk? Who will understand anyway? So these bodhisattvas is even more respected because they will go back into the world and try to convey something of that beyond to people who are asleep. Then they have to use all kinds of methods to try to reach them. That is the part of the bodhisattvas. So this Hakuin is very close to me. From the very beginning, all beings are Buddhas, like water and ice. Without water, no ice. Outside us, no Buddhas. Stop looking outside, he said. Come back to yourself. Stop. For your whole life, you've been wasting getting involved in your own dramas, in other dramas. When you're going to, you need all the energy to yourself. Which is what I have created here for you now. So it's just a reminder. Use this opportunity to stop, to come back to yourself, to let your whole energy sink back to the source. Empty your mind, your head, and let it sink deep inside. So you start listening with your heart, with your very soul. How near the truth we are, yet how far we seek. The truth is nearer than near. The truth is in you. The truth is you. But we are seeking outside. Then you can never find it. Like one in water who is crying, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. You cannot see. Like a child of a wealthy home who is wandering among the poor and the sick. Lost on dark paths of ignorance. And there has never been as much ignorance as today. Ignorance is almost praised now. To be stupid is normal. To be lost is normal. That's how the world is. We wander through the six worlds. These six worlds is what I mentioned before. They have these different worlds that people live in. Some humans, they look like humans all, but some is more like hungry ghosts. Some is like animal. Some is very angry. Some is very dumb. These are all different types, the different hells that we are living on the planet. This is the different realms. And out of these six realms, one is the human where you get conscious that you are alive and you have a possibility to go beyond your lower nature, your lower self. When shall we be free from birth and death? When shall we be free from birth and death? When shall we be free of suffering, of fear, of confusion? It's not many places to turn. Like Hakuin, if he hadn't come to his master, he wouldn't find out. You need to go to the light to find the light. You need to go to wisdom to find wisdom. You think you can find it in your own confused mind? That is what the ego would like. It's impossible. When shall we be free from birth and death? Oh, the Sasan of the Mahayana, to this the highest praise. He said the highest praise is meditation. And what is meditation? Meditation is going beyond your mind, your thoughts, into a state of clarity. Where you see things as they are. You are undisturbed by any thoughts, any emotion. You are totally present now. There is nothing from the past, nothing for the future. Your whole totality, your life energy is available to this moment. Then you see everything crystal clear. Because you are here, you are present. And when you are present, you become a presence. This is the highest praise, he says. And out of this, devotion, repentance, training, meditation, and the many paramitas. And what is the paramitas? That is the perfect teachings. You become a perfect human being. That is the outcome of real meditation. Because meditation leads you into the real. It transforms you. That is the possibility. It transforms you from the false to the real. From darkness to light. From a stone to a diamond. That is the alchemy of meditation, of truth, of love. Those who try Zazen even once wipe away beginningless crimes. It purifies karma, dissolving obstructions. Then where are the dark paths to lead us astray? Only when the mind, when you are identified with the mind, when you are lost in the trickiness of the mind, of desire, of greed, of planning your own things, of hiding in the shadows, only then will you get lost, will you go astray. If you are clear, you won't get lost. How can you go astray? There's nowhere to go. You're not interested to go anywhere. Then how can you go astray? Those who try Zazen even once. That doesn't mean that you can just sit down and meditate and then you are there where Hakuen says no. The real Zazen, the real meditation. Real meditation for Hakuen is that you realize the truth. You have a glimpse. If you really have a glimpse, that will change everything. Because now you have gotten the proof. It's something outside your tricky mind, your confusion. That is the empty space, the clarity, the seeing, the essence. No, if you have seen that, if you have felt that, if you have realized that, then it's impossible to go astray, because even if you try, that light will bring you back. And if you go astray, it's a sign that you haven't seen. That is the power of reality, because that is the totality. It transmutes you, it transforms you. That's what Osho said many times, I remember. Do all your stupid things before enlightenment. Afterwards, there's no possibility. Be as stupid as you can. Do as many faults as you can. Learn. Because afterwards, there's no chance. And if it is, don't fool yourself that you're enlightened. You see, many people, even so-called masters, gurus, they've been caught with all kinds of cheating people, money. Indian gurus, great mahatmas, a long beard and perfect picture of a Guruji. And then they have some pictures that, oh, he was fondling that 12-year-old girl that came there. And you have so many of those, much more than the real ones. Those who see it even once wipe away beginningless crimes. It's impossible to do any tricky things then, because you have something that is so much fulfilling that anything that happens in this realm, you're untouched. That's the story of all the master. Jesus, 40 days in the desert, he was tempted again and again by the devil. The same Buddha, they have stories. All the enlightened beings there. I was also tempted many, many times. Could be given anything, could have anything. But then there came a time where, no, no. I already have. That is freedom. Nothing can tempt you, nothing can corrupt you. Otherwise, people, they make so much bad karmas and confusion and trickiness and going around in the darkness and are lost, like Hakuin said, just by getting something. Some money, some sexual desires, some dreams, some power. They sell their integrity, they sell their heart, they sell their whole wisdom. Because they don't see, they haven't had that experience, that you have something so valuable. Why looking for those pebbles when you are sitting in a diamond mine? It's impossible, just impossible. This pure lotus land is not far away. Hearing this truth, heart becomes humble and grateful. And the heart becomes so humble, because how could this happen? How could this happen to me? How can this happen? You become so humble and you become so grateful. That is the sign. How could this happen? This is a gift beyond any other gift. How could this happen? And remember, hearing this truth, the heart, humble and grateful, is this the heart that will receive the truth? The head can never receive it. The truth will upset the head. So that's why the whole art is to come from the head to the heart. If the heart is not vibrant, alive, thirsty, you cannot receive the truth. And when the heart is so grateful, receptive, longing for freedom, then it's like nectar. This heart knows that humbleness, that gratefulness. So even just reading, it knows the experience that Hakuin is talking about. That is the amazing things. And it's difficult to have to make effort to talk again. Because it's so delicious, that gratefulness, that silence. It reminds me of Ramakrishna, a great master in India. They said that when he, again and again, when he talked about the different stages, then he came to the third eye, then he went unconscious. And to praise and embrace it, to practice its wisdom, brings unending blessings, brings mountains of merit. First one has to seek it, then one has to find it, then one has to stabilize in it so it becomes real. Then you have to praise and embrace it, to practice it. Even afterwards, you have to nurture it, you have to live it, you have to become a voice of that wisdom. And it brings unending blessings. Because that is the highest of the human incarnation. You are sharing the truth. Then it brings unending blessings. It brings mountains of merit. And if we turn inward and prove our true nature, true self is no self. Our own self is no self. We go beyond ego and past clever words. We realize that the true self is no self. This is, again, the language. Because even enlightened people, even masters, they have to use language So some says, like Buddha says, no self. That is your nature. You have yourself, that this is, in the Buddha, self is the ego. No self is your essence, your God self. Then you have some, like Ramana says, the self, capital S, Advaita, your true self and your false self. But that true self, even if it is with this big capital S, disappear. Because there cannot be any separation. When you realize your true self, you realize that there's no self. That is your true self. Meditate on it. Because then everything is gone. This is the last thing of being separate. Everybody wants to find my truth, find enlightenment, but my enlightenment. No. To find enlightenment, you have to go. Nobody can be enlightened. This enlightenment can just live in that body, that expression of truth, of the whole. If somebody says they are enlightened, just know. Nobody can own that. It's like nobody can own love. Nobody can own freedom. Nobody can own silence. Nobody can own God. Not even the Pope. This is universal. So the only thing that can realize the universal is the universal in you. That is the consciousness, which is impersonal. The true self is no self. Our own self is no self. We go beyond ego and past clever words. Because even this Hakuan, and that's how it always is, you have so many people, they use clever words. I'm sure so many people in Hakuan's time also, they had clever words. I'm not a good speaker. I don't have many clever words. I just speak the truth. Many people you can read many books that is much more intelligent put out. I'm hardly educated at all in the school system. Somebody else educated me. So that's why this, if you are really true, you will always be on an outsider. So it's an art, you have to live in the world, but not be part of it as such. You're untouched. You live in the world, you enjoy, you make the world even more beautiful. You share that joy, whatever, that beauty. The self is no self. Our own self is no self. We go beyond ego and past clever words. And it's so easy to use clever words. Again and again I see people use clever words. They say all kinds of things. But many times I see they don't live up to it. And then again you create more karma, more confusion, because you don't stand up for what you are saying. The words means nothing. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Tell me what you did, what you are doing, what you are living. Then the gate to the oneness of cause and effect is thrown open. Then you see everything, the gates are thrown open. You see the whole drama and how you've been creating your own karma, cause and effect. And you step out of it. You relax because you see not two and not three. Straight ahead runs the way. Straight ahead runs the way. Not two. And not three. The mind is always split. You have the right hemisphere and the left. The mystical and the rational. The yin and the yang. And these two is always in unbalance till they become one. Then you can see. That is the third eye. In your physical body, you have two eyes, you see, with two eyes. Then you have one eye here that you don't need, you can close to, still you see. That is this eye of true seeing. Then you don't get fooled by appearance. How people look what they say. No, you look through that. No words, no clever words can fool you. You look through that. These eyes is tricked by the appearance. If you are not conscious, then you get tricked again and again. Oh, this was so beautiful. Oh, this person, da, da, da. Oh, this person said that is so beautiful. Just words, just appearances. What is the real thing? For that, you have to come back into your own self. Not two and not three, straight ahead runs the way. And not three, and you can go on and on and on, because many people, they are much more split than two. They have many, many personalities. Any meditator, any man like Hakuin, he knows. But no, it's much more normal. In psychiatry, they know in modern therapy, people are so split, they have so many personalities, so many sides. They don't know who they are. One minute they are this person, the next is. Everybody wants to be in control. You want to be peaceful, but then somebody else takes over and you go getting drunk. You want to sit home and meditate? No, but you have to go to the disco and smoke some marijuana. This is how the mind, the different sides in people. It's never any peace. That's the whole art, to come back, to bring yourself back to one. Then you become crystallized. Then you can really, you trust yourself and you people can trust you because you are not split. Otherwise, somebody said that and then in the evening you do something different. There's another part of you. And that's what he means. Not two and not three and not 30 like many people are. They don't know why they did it. They don't know what they say it. Then afterwards they say, oh, I'm sorry. Hello. Don't you know what you are doing? It's amazing. You don't know what you are doing. Why should you be sorry for anything? If you are conscious, you're not sorry. You don't do stupid things. not 2, and not 3, and not 37. Straight ahead runs the way. And when the way goes straight ahead, what a joy. Whoa! You can go slow, you can go fast, no problem. Woof. No worries. No worries of any collision. Straight ahead. Woof. Over form, no being no form. In going and returning, we never leave home. Over form, now being no form. This is over form. The body is over form. But that form that gave you so much problems because you are so identified just with the body that is afraid of dying and doing all these stupid things, you have realized your no form, your true essence. Your true essence that live in the form. That spiritual in the material. The game has changed. First you thought you are only the body, you don't know about your reality, your soul. No, you know you're just your essence. In the body. Totally changed. That is the alchemy, the transformation. Our form, no, being no form. In going and returning, we never leave home. This going and returning, we'll never leave home. That was the last time I wrote to my master, Osho. Coming or going, always at home, I said. Over thought, no, being no thought. Over dancing and songs are the voice of the Dharma. Over thought, no, being no thought. Even thoughts, you can use the mind, but that mind is not coming from somebody that wants something out of it. So before you were used by the mind, you were a slave of the mind. No, you used the mind intelligent like you used the computer. If you are conscious, you can use the computer to do beautiful things. If you are unconscious, you can use it for very bad things. Over dancing and songs are the voice of the Dharma. Hakone is saying, just be natural, be yourself. Eating, sleeping, meditating, dancing, singing, everything is the expression of the truth, of God. It doesn't matter what you do. That's many times I remind you, it doesn't matter what you do in this life when you are real. Because everybody you have different skills, you have different interests, you have different imprints in the body, in your karma. Whatever you do, but from that space, it will be a beautiful expression of the truth. Like the Zen master said, when the disciple came and asked, how is it, this enlightenment? What happens when you are enlightened? And the Zen master said, when I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm thirsty, I drink. When I'm tired, I lay down to sleep. The poor disciple didn't understand anything. Everything is natural, easy, spontaneous. He said before enlightenment, there is eating, there is sleeping, there is dancing, there is carrying water, there is chopping wood, whatever you do, that is the same, but totally different. Then you have a mid stage where everything gets turned upside down. But every disciple has to go through. You don't know anything more. Because your whole reality became very shaky. Everything that you thought you was and knew becomes very shaky. That's where you have to have trust to go higher. Otherwise, it's very easy to go back, to go lower, where everything becomes so-called normal, very normal, helt normal. And dead. Everything is normal and dead, sterile. So, in this middle phase, the master said, then comes the time where the rivers are not rivers, eating is not eating. Everything is upside down. It becomes magical. Topsy-turvy. You don't know. Like, ooh, like that. Then that's what Jesus calls the dark night of the soul. You don't know. Then you desperately need. In the beginning, you can just read the books, Bhagavad Gita and Osho book, and women are from Venus and men is from Mars, and be very happy. No. It's way beyond that. When everything becomes real, you don't know. You're losing your identity as somebody. Then you really need somebody to trust, to go beyond that dark night of the soul. Then afterwards, everything settles again. But then everything is innocent, natural. When you sleep, you sleep. When you eat. It is nothing. You don't want anything. There is no wanting. There is no becoming. Every moment is totally in itself. Our thoughts, no being, no thoughts. Our dancing and songs are being the voice of the Dharma. You becoming the voice of existence, of God. Like a child. It's just natural. How vast is the heaven of boundless samadhi? He's saying, how vast is this space? It's boundless, it's limitless. How bright and transparent the moonlight of wisdom. How bright it is, the moonlight of wisdom. And the mystics have tried in thousands of different ways to hint, to describe that which cannot be described. No words can say it. But when you have had the experience yourself, then every time I read, that's why I can see if people had it or not. I know the experience. So when you read the holy books, then you see what is real or what, or from masters. It's your own experience put in some other words, another language. Like, how beautiful this Hakuan is saying this, that he's saying it so beautiful, things that you cannot say. And he still is saying it. How bright and transparent the moonlight of wisdom. And that's what real wisdom will bring to you. It will bring you more quietness, more wisdom, more peace. Because isn't that when you see the full moon, you fall silent. You're just in awe. Everybody, every human, you see the full moon, you become in awe. How beautiful. So mysterious. The whole sky, black. Black night. And the big golden full moon. What can you say? You just, how bright. You lose all language. You just fall silent. And it's a beautiful silence. What is it there outside us? What is it that we lack? What is it outside you? What is it always that you think you are missing that you can get from the outside? It's just because you haven't gone deep in yourself. Get to know yourself. Then you will see how rich you are. How beautiful you are. How peaceful you are. That is what the Master is trying to get you back into yourself, into your peace, into your own divine being. Nirvana is openly shown to our eyes. This earth where we are living, where we stand, is the pure lotus paradise. And this very body, the Buddha. It's all here. It's all now. And it's all available. Aum Shanti. Yeah.